These are a couple of reels. The first one's called Miss Gaze, and the second one, I don't know the name. It's a French-Canadian tune, and I learned it from a recording by Lisa Ornstein and Denis Pépin. Going to come out and dance a Lancashire jig. Thank you. She will be back.
Okay.
That's great. I should have tails or something. I've never get one of these fancy ups and downs piano benches here. God. It's really exciting. It's the most exciting thing that's happened to me. No, it's not. I'm here playing for Step Dance Week, and which leads me into this next tune, which is an Irish waltz clog, or so it's said in the book I learned it from. And the book I learned it from was a book called The Clog Dance Book, which was published in the late 20s or early 30s, I forget, by some woman whose name I forget, but she was a professor at the Columbia Teachers College in New York City. And it's a pretty interesting book. It was a book designed for people to take into the classroom and teach phys ed classes how to do ethnic dances. So they had all the students dressed up in funny outfits in the book. It's very amusing. They're in blackface and other socially incorrect things. But the tune was nice, I hope. Thank you very much. Next tune is a tune made famous by a great mandolin player, Dave Apollon, and it's called The Russian Rag. It stole some bits from some classical composers. ¶¶ Thanks very much.
You back there? Yeah.
This has been a fun week so far, and especially fun because I'm playing for Pat, and every once in a while during her classes, I get to dance too, which is really fun. Sneak it in there. Don't tell the authorities. And it's been great seeing her dance. It's been a revelation to me in English clog styles. Earth-shattering. And she's going to come out now and dance Yorkshire Reel. These are some more reels. The Nimble Fingers, which after the end of that thing I need. And the second one is called the Hexam Lasses, and the third one is called the Jolly Seven. I don't know what that's all about, but they're jollies.
Thank you all very much. Pat Tracy and Laurie Anders. Well, thank you. We'd like to remind you that out in the hall, we're going during intermission, we'd like for you to go out there and buy some records and tapes. You know, some of your friends didn't get to make it to this concert. You need to remember them, and they'll like you for it. And these musicians will like you for it, too. I have one announcement, too, about a concert, about an event tomorrow night here in the choir room. In 1985, Elise Witt and the Small Family Orchestra went down to Nicaragua, and they did a tour of the country, and they brought back a documentary music video. And tomorrow evening at 6:30 and 7:30, it's going to be shown. I hope you'll come out and see that, and especially in these times when there's a whole lot of focus on Nicaragua and especially Central America, I hope you'll come out. And if you want to know something about it, that's where you can find out things. There's going to be a discussion after the showing, and if you know something, come and share that too. So that's tomorrow night, 6:30 and 7:30.
I was standing backstage, and this funny-looking feller come back there with a hat on. He had this mustache and a real flared-like shirt, but I'll tell you, he described himself as a dance doctor. And he gave me these prescriptions, and he said, "You've got to give this to the people out there in the audience, for I know they're in pain sitting out there listening to all this wonderful music, wiggling and wiggling around." Now here, I'm going to read it to you. "Tonight, following the concert, clogging in the Boiler House to the snappy music of Judy and the Boilermakers." Okay. "Followed by Cajun dancing on the porch with Dr. Bubba and Tina. Now that's going to cure your ills for today. Now if anything happens tomorrow that's going to aggravate the pain, tomorrow night there's going to be a contra dance in the Boiler House after the panel discussion."
That's not about the contra.
No, it's not about the contras, not that panel discussion. Real Boilermakers. Now, Bill Wellington, Dr. Bill, is going to be doing some calling, and the music is going to be provided by the Professionals on Vacation. Whoa. After that, if you can still stand up, there's going to be swing dancing with Bob Willoughby and the Wailers. We want to keep everybody healthy and sound here, so we'd like now for you to go ahead and take a little break, get a drink of water, visit, and buy some tapes and albums. 15 minutes and come back. We've got Margaret MacArthur and Bio Seco coming up. See you in a little bit. Well, thank you. Well, I hope everybody found the water fountain and found the rooms you needed and everything. You know, sometimes that can be a problem. There was this little boy down in Scott County. How many of you were here last year and saw Charlie Osborne? Just snap your fingers or something. Well, Charlie Osborne tells a bunch of stories that his daddy told him. And there was this little boy. It was his first day at school, and he got settled in there. It was a little one-room schoolhouse, you know. And he wasn't there too long, and he raised his hand and asked the teacher, could he be excused? The teacher said, well, all right, go ahead. So the little boy went out, and he was gone for a while. He came back in and sat down. But he wasn't there but 2 or 3 minutes. He raised his hand and asked to be excused again. Well, the teacher looked at him. She said, well, Bobby, I just excused you a few minutes ago. He said, well, teacher, I couldn't find it. So she sent his older brother out with him. Well, they come back directly, and the teacher looked. Bobby settled in. Teacher looked at the brother, said, well, is everything all right? The older brother looked around and said, teacher, the reason he couldn't find it was he had his pants on backwards. So I'm going to assume you all found it and everything's okay and you're ready to settle back in and listen to some absolutely beautiful music. Being backstage here, you do get a different perspective on things, and I've been running into Margaret MacArthur, not running into her, but I mean seeing her around campus. You know, I'd be riding my bicycle, and I noticed that beautiful white hair and the blue eyes, and she always has the red in her cheeks. Well, she does work in the garden a lot. I found that she grows her own vegetables, and I knew that there was something about that woman I could relate to right away. But the other thing in talking with her is that she does travel around all over the place and sings some very beautiful old ballads. She plays something called the MacArthur Harp Zither, and she does play dulcimer, so she's going to come out now and sing and play for us. Let's welcome Margaret MacArthur.
Thank you so much. I'm going to sing a couple of songs that have to do with rivers. And the first one is a song about a boy who went down beside the river. He saw a girl way up in a tree, and he said to her, what are you doing way up in the tree? She said, I was driven there by a wild pig. This is not the little pig that the rat brought to feed. It was a big, ferocious pig. And the boy was feeling very brave and said, well, I wish I'd see that pig. And the girl said, well, if you blow your horn, that pig will come to thee. That pig belonged to an old witch. And we heard last night at the storytelling that giants don't swim. Witches don't swim either. And they're not strong even by the water. And this old witch was on the other side of the river from this pig that was her pet pig. And later she was on the bridge and kind of weak. As I went down by the riverside, blow your horn, hunter, pretty fair maid in a tree I spied. I am a jovial hunter. Said, fair maid, what brings you here? Blow your horn, hunter. Said, that wild boar brought me here. And are you a jovial hunter? Wish I would that wild boar see. Blow your horn, hunter. That wild boar will come to thee. You are a jovial hunter.
went till he came to the wild boar's den. Blow your horn, hunters, by the bones of 1,000 men. But he was a jovial hunter. The wild boar came all with a rush. Blow your horn, hunter, he knocked down hickory, oak, and ash for to meet a jovial hunter. They fought for 4 hours in that day. Blow your horn, hunter, and he at last that boar did slay, for he was a jovial hunter. He met that witch wife on the bridge. Blow your horn, hunter, you killed my pretty spotted pig. Oh, are you a jovial hunter? There are three things I desire of thee. Blow your horn, hunter, your hound, your horn, and your gay lady. You are a jovial hunter. There are three things you desire of me. Blow your horn, hunter, but my sword and your neck, they don't agree. And I am a jovial hunter. He split that witch wife to the chin. Blow your horn, hunter, he went on his way again, for he was a jovial hunter.
This story, that's a very ancient story, sometimes called Sir Lionel. And this next story is also an ancient story. It's an ancient folk tale of the border between Canada and Maine, years 500 years ago when this was made up, which was probably over 100 years ago. A legend that someone heard of the Indians and the Great Falls on the St. John River in New Brunswick, and the Great Falls there on the St. John River, which the Indians called the Ogundi, and it's an Indian legend of the tribe of Maliseets.
In the sweet days of summer, 500 years ago, where the broad and deep Ogundi flows on in constant show, on goes that rushing river as down the great falls bore, over the deep with mighty leap, full 80 feet or more. On the banks above it, an Indian village rose, where dwelt the warlike Maliseets, Mohawks were their foes. These sons of terror had dwelt in many a fray, with savage ire and carnage dire, shaming the light of day. But buried was the hatchet, they went to war no more. The little children frolicked around each wigwam door. Around the Indian village were maize fields waving green. Mid such sweet peace one scarce could guess war had ever been. Sakotas and his daughter, that dark-eyed Malalabim, sailed up the broad Ogundi beyond the Quisby stream. There upon an island they rested for a day. Their hearts were light, the world was bright, nature's face was gay. But like a clap of thunder, when the skies are bright and clear, the war cry of the Mohawk fell on their startled ear. A sharp flint-tipped arrow pierced old Sakota's breast. Ere Malabim could run to him, her father was at rest. Speeding through the thicket, there came a dreadful crowd of Mohawks in their war paint, with war cries fierce and loud. And ere the Indian maiden had time to turn to flee, they bound her fast, all hope was past, except the hope to die. There by her murdered father, the weary hours she passed, till the sun went down and the lofty trees a gloomy shadow cast. Thinking of home and family and those she could not warn, what murdered night, what gory sight would greet the morrow morn. Then one who spoke her language said, as soon as sun goes down, your bark canoe shall guide us into your father's town. Do this, your life is spared you, and wed a Mohawk brave. Refuse, your doom is torture, or worse, to be a slave. Said Malabim, I'll guide you and wed a Mohawk brave. Though you've killed my father, I need not be a slave. The stream is dark and broken, you well might lose your way. Keep your canoes together, and I will lead. Down the rushing river, the great canoe fleet passed. 300 Mohawk warriors, Malabim went first. And he who spoke her language, a line of silver drew, bending to the forward paddle of the maiden's birch canoe. Now the Indian village lies but a mile below. A sound like muffled thunder seems on their ears to grow. What's that? It's but a torrent, the Indian maiden cried. Stream runs dark and broken, but the stream is deep and wide. Speed on a little further, the town is now hard by. Your toils are nearly over, and night still veils the sky. Till the town is wrapped in slumber, and ere the dawn of light, what stalwart men shall perish, what warriors die tonight? But louder still and louder the sound like thunder grew. On either shore a foam wreath shone like a band of snow. On either shore a foam wreath shone like a band of snow. But all ahead was darkness, 'twas death that lay. And with a cry of triumph, the Indian maiden cried, go down, ye Mohawk warriors who sail on death's dark tide. Never shall earth grave hide you, or wife weep o'er your clay. Come to your doom, ye Mohawks, and I will lead. sweeping with her paddle, one mighty stroke her last. As o'er the falls her bark it bore, the dreadful brink was past. The whole 300 in swift succession flew to the darkness of their death, full 80 feet below. Many a day thereafter, the Mohawk dead were found. Beyond the torrent's roar, by the Ogundy ground. But none found dark-eyed Malabim, that Indian maiden brave. Waters of 500 years still flow above her grave.
I'd like to dedicate a poem to all the dancers who are here this week. It's an old poem I found in an old newspaper from 50 or 60 years ago, and I thought it would be appropriate for this week at Augusta. Lowly stations, boys they brought their sweethearts and their grandpas brought relations. They played old turkey in the straw and all the tunes bewitching, for young and old to heel and toe in Farmer Jones's kitchen. As each for partners made a rush with happy smiling faces. Grandpa's danced the minuet with grandma's Jane or Lizzie. Petronella steps so fine made lads and lasses dizzy. Fiddles loud a squealing, from Portland Fancy on they flew through old Virginia reeling. There were jigs and reels galore, and Fisher's hornpipe dancing. Irish washerwoman next kept those fiddle feet a dancin'.